Continuing with Du'a al-Kamil, we will now look at the next verse, which is verse 21. And here we look at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's sort of connected to the last verse where a human being, having acknowledged his own, if I can say, own lowliness, seeks now to magnify his Rabb, who is so exalted. Allahumma azuma sultanuk, your kingdom is so great. Wa ala makanuk, and your greatness is exalted. Wa khafiya makruk, your plans are secret. Wa zahara amruk, and your authority is manifest everywhere. Wa ghalaba kahruk, your dominance, your might is so overwhelming. وَجَرَتْ قُدْرَتُكْ, your power is operating everywhere. It's prevalent absolutely everywhere. وَلَا يُمْقِنُ الْفِرَارِ مِنْ حُكُومَتِكْ, and there is no escape, it is impossible to escape from your dominion. Let's look at each of the parts of this verse. In the first bit, اللهم عظم سلطانك, it is so clear. Your kingdom is so great. His is the kingdom. Every other sovereignty is temporary. Allah's is unbounded, unlimited, permanent, endless. There is absolutely nothing that can compare to His kingdom. That is why when we read in the Quran, the Ayatul Mulk, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ, say, O Allah, the King of the Kingdom. تُعْطِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِي الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ, you will grant your kingdom to whosoever you wish, and you will take away the sovereignty from whomsoever you wish. All boundless, ever-prevalent authority belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَى مَكَانُكَ, and your makan is, if I can say, your status. It is Allah, it is so great. He himself in the Quran says, لَيْثَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there is nothing like him. Perfection per se. Anything you think of Allah, when you read وَعَلَى مَكَانُكَ, means he is much better than what you are thinking. Think of the most perfect of the perfect, and he is more perfect than that. وَخَفِيَ مَكْرُكَ, Ikhfa is in Arabic, in the Arabic language, when you want to read the Quran, one of the rules of recitation is known as ikhfa. In this rule, it means that although you know that a certain letter is present, it is not sounded out in its entire form, but it is hidden. To put it more crudely, if you saw me put a pen underneath a piece of paper, you know the pen is there, but it is not evident. In the same way, or it is not evident or visible, in the same way, khafiya makruk amruk means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plans are not those that a human being can logify or sit and work out. And we have so many examples of this. Quran says, مَكَرُهُمْ وَمَكَرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, they plan and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. And the most excellent example when you read وَخَفِيَ مَكْرُكَ is to think of Surah Al-Fil. In Surah Al-Fil, we see how Abraha decides to destroy the Kaaba with his elephant and with his troops. He comes along with all his might and power and glory to destroy the Kaaba. See what happens to his plans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends some birds with little pebbles in their hands, or in their beaks rather, and these are showered upon the army of Abraha. And Abraha's army is no more. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so beautifully, He says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل, have you not considered how your Lord dealt with the possessors of the elephant, ألم يجعل كيدهم في تذليل, did he not cause their plans to end in confusion, وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل and sent down upon them birds in flocks ترميهم بهجارة من سجيل casting against them stones of baked clay فجعلهم كعصف مأكول so he rendered them like straws eaten up. And this is the surah that should immediately come up into one's mind. We may plan, but his plans are hidden and his plans are the best. Let's continue with it, where he says, وَذَحَرَ عَمْرُكَ. His commands are manifest absolutely everywhere. The first command is the command by which all creation was created and appeared or manifested itself in the world. The other command is the religion that you and I follow. Halal Muhammad will remain halal until the day of Qiyamah, and Haram Muhammad will remain haram until the day of Qiyamah, and it will manifest itself. Maybe the best way I can explain this is, I remember many years ago when I was a young child, my father used to tell me that if I wanted my eyesight to improve, I should brush my teeth. And he used to say that my child is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I used to wonder as a child, how can brushing my teeth assist my eyesight? And I remember one day going to the dentist and being injected with some anesthetic. And suddenly I found that one of my eyes, the eyelids, was drooping. And I said, hello, I don't know what's happening here. You've injected me with some anesthetic, which is supposed to go into my, or rather numb my mouth. But why is it connected? What's happening to my eyes? And he says, it's all connected. And that's when I thought, Sadaqa Rasul. The Amr is absolutely manifest. Let me give you another example. Again, I remember reading a hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which said that if you wish to improve your memory retention, if you wish to improve the powers of your brain, then do sujood. Go into sujda for a long time. Now, you know that the pressure points that are pressed in sujda are the thumbs of the, or rather the toes of the feet. You have the palms that are pressed upon the ground, and you have the forehead. And I remember driving one day quite happily along, listening to a radio program that was talking about acupressure. And the lady who came on was saying that the particular points that need to be pressed to increase brain activity or assist in brain activity were exactly the same ones that were recommended or that are wajib to have pressure upon in sijda. I remember very much stopping the car and finding a place where I could recite two rakats of shukr to say, Ya Rabbi, Sadaqallah wa Sadaqar Rasul. Indeed, the truth is from Allah and truth is from His Prophet. So that basically is when we read, Wa Zahara Amruk. And then we have, Wa Ghalaba Kahruk, Wa Jarat Qudratuk. His dominion and power is absolutely overwhelming. Everything in the world, from the hidden to the visible, from the largest to the smallest, from the most extensive galaxies and stars and planets to the tiniest atoms, they are absolutely subject to His rule. Everything is insignificant before the Creator. The most expressive of describers are incapable of describing His greatness, of His dominion. The most eloquent of tongues are unable to express this greatness, and the most powerful of thoughts cannot even realize a part of this greatness. There is not much more to say to the dominance and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All I can say is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. And then finally, وَلَا يُمْكِنُ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ حُقُومَتِكَ. The escape from His domain is absolutely impossible. There's a wonderful hadith where somebody comes to Imam Hussain alayhi salam and says, I am a sinner and I really don't want to continue to be in this position. Advise me what to do, because I need to find something that will stop this temptation into sinning, and maybe something that all of us must pay attention to. And Iman tells him, if al-khamsata ashya wa adhnib ma shi'at, do five things and then commit any sins you want. And then Imam says, la ta'qul min rizqillah, do not eat of Allah's sustenance, wa adhnib ma shi'at, and then commit whatever sins you want. Akhruj min mamlukati Allah wa hukmati wa adhnib ma shi'at, go outside the domain of Allah's authority, then commit any sins that you want. Thirdly, he says, atlub maqanan la yaraka fihi Allah, go where Allah will not see you, and then commit as many sins as you want. The fourth thing he says, wa idha ja'aka malakul maut fadfa'hu anka, when malakul maut, when the angel of death comes, send him away, then commit sins. And finally he told him, wa in saqaqa malaikatul adhab ila an-nari fala tadkhul fiha, when the angel of Jahannam wants to throw you into Jahannam, don't enter. Then commit as many sins as you want. Immediately the man realized, and it's a realization for all of us, we cannot do these things. And it actually talks about here the dominance and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no escape from His dominion. Absolutely none. And on that realization, the next verse says, Allahumma la ajidu li dhunubi ghafira wa la li kabaihi satira wa la li shayin min amalil qabihi bil hasani mubaddilan ghayr. Oh Allah, I find no forgiver of my sins. Wa la li kabaihi satira, no concealer of my evil acts. Wa la li shayin min amalil qabihi bil hasani mubaddilan ghayr, no transformer of my evil acts into good acts except you. Realizing the dominance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realizing His power, now the besieger, the supplicant, look and admits his total abjectness in front of the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the forgiver of sins, Al-Ghafoor. And one of the attributes of a believer is that you're always hopeful of his forgiveness. In Surah Yusuf, Surah number 12, Ayah 87, he says, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْعَصُ مِنْ رَوْهِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ, none despair of his mercy, none despairs of his mercy except those who cover up the truth. And the ayah that I absolutely adore, where Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, say, O my people, O my abd, O those who connected to me, who have been wasteful against themselves, لَا تَخْنَتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, do not despair in the mercy of Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, Allah forgives sins altogether, إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, indeed He is all forgiving and all merciful. There's a wonderful hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam where he says that Allah is not to open up the doors of gratitude to His servant and then close the doors of increased blessings. He doesn't allow him to do dua but then limits the fulfillment of his dua, and he doesn't intend to open the doors of tawbah and then closes his doors of forgiveness. In other words, it's always open. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us the signs of one who does tawbah. He says there are four signs. Amma alamatu ta'ib fa'arba'a. The signs of a repentant are these four. The first thing he says, an-nasihatu lillahi fi amali. There is a total obedience of Allah in his deeds and his behavior. Wa tarkul batil. He leaves behind that which is untrue, which is not right. Wa luzumul haq. He sticks to the truth. Wa hirsu ala al-khair. And he has an enthusiasm, a zest for doing good. And the last part of this verse is so beautiful, where we say, وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عَمَلِي الْقَبِيهِ بِالْحَسَنِ مُبَدِّلًا غَيْرِكَ, I find no transformer of my wicked acts into good acts but you. By extension, we're actually proclaiming that Allah can change bad deeds into good deeds. In Surah Al-Furqan, it says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَعَمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Except him who does tawbah, believes, and does a good deed, Allah changes the evil deeds to good ones, and He is forgiving and merciful. In Surah Al-Hud, He says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ Establish Salah, طَرَفِ النَّحَارِ وَزُلْفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ At the two ends of the day and in the first part of the night. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذَهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ Surely good deeds take away evil deeds. ذَلْكَ ذِكْرَ الذَّاكِرِينَ This is the reminder for those who remember. Absolutely amazing how He changes them over. When questioning this concept one day, Abu Dharr narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that on the last day, Allah orders to count for the Abd's minor sins and covering his major sins. He confesses to what he has committed of the minor sins, but he's so afraid of the major ones. If Allah wills to have mercy on him, He will replace any sin of his with a good act. So the servant professes, My Rabb, but I had committed many major sins that are not present today. Abu Dharr says, at this point, the Prophet smiled in a way that his teeth showed, and he recited the ayah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا This is ayah 70 of Surah Al-Furqan. These are they of whom Allah changes the evil deeds to the good ones, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. And remember the conditions for this. Let's just look at that before we end. Three conditions to do tawbah. To believe and then to reciprocate with a good deed. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist in changing the evil into the good. Inshallah, we will continue with Dua Kamal.